Now, I'd like to meet Mr. Zappa.
How are you doing, Mr.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
You don't mind if we talk a little bit with Mr. Fleischmann?
Lou Merkelson.
How do you do? And I'm Will Strother.
Will?
Bill.
Bill. Hi, Bill.
Well, I get the feeling we're going to talk about
what we're talking about.
This is we are talking here to Frank Zappa.
Mr. David Raxon is behind us on a high stool.
The gray eminence.
Yeah. There's no more place in this room.
Have you been here, Mr. Raxon, since 1959?
He must say, I must say this heat is really beginning to work.
I remember seeing you in 1959.
Can we put the heater off now?
I remember seeing myself in 1959.
Can we put the heater off?
Yes, we can just...
Who does that? Did I just plug
whoever can reach the plug can do that.
Yeah, all right.
Have you thought about...
Do you have a union problem here?
No, it's just... It was so cold when we started.
Mm-hmm. I wondered, have you thought at all about... perhaps using Creatures of Prometheus as an entr'acte for this
with just
some
recorded
dance as
it.
Well.
I don't think it's the most inspired music.
I'm thinking
that's the understatement of the year.
No, but not because it's his only ballet, using it as ballet movements between movements as well. So you're adding another dimension to the.
Yes, we could always. That's so easy. We could side read that. It's very simple music apart from the.
And it has the Eroica theme at the end, which people always recognize and. Very surprised.
And then we can talk about the light show you're going to be doing during it too, with all the engravings and the cuts of Beethoven's life.
You might find a new Fidelio. I just realized if you're really all in that tough a spot, Frank, what about Janis Joplin?
What about that?
Yeah. Certainly, she's got the power.
She's got the power.
I've only seen pictures of her.
Well, she looks like
but does she sing with the voice or does she just croon? Oh,
she
or
sings
scream?
With the voice.
She sings with everything.
with the body.
Well, then she should be. Says,
It says nipples erect in the promotional material.
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yeah. Gives you a rough idea.
Then she should be Salome.
I didn't know Beethoven wrote Salome.
What?
He intended to.
Ah, but he just never got
we
around
to it. We had once a comedy show in done by that tuba player in London.
Hoffnung.
Where Salome came on stage and shed her seven veils, and then it was Fidelio Clare underneath. Mr. Zappa, I was talking about you to some of my boys in the orchestra. They all had such raves.
Well, I was trying to acquire the percussion section of the Los Angeles Philharmonic for the pilot for a television show that I was going to put together because I wanted to do a performance of Ionizations on this show because we're trying to show different kinds of music on the program.
Why don't you once and for all tell me what is rock music?
What are you asking me for? Do I look like I would know?
Somebody's got to explain to me once and for all what is rock.
If somebody knows, maybe
because
somebody
every time I ask, they play me the records, and it's always different. So is that one of the characteristics of rock that it has to be different, or it is different, or it has a property to be different?
Well, it's just like somebody coming up to you and say, "You tell me what classical music is," and then you play them a little sample of some Baroque music, and you play them a little sample of this and a little sample of that, and then you play them Penderecki, and they say it's all different.
Is it that different, really?
Yeah, because it's all...
Because, I mean, blues is blues.
Yeah, but it's not all blues today, you see.
And jazz is jazz. Mm-hmm. But rock is suddenly all kinds of things. That's why.
Well, jazz used to be, jazz is one category when everybody was improvising on 2-5-1 chord progression.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that went by the boards a few years ago. So now there's a lot of things that people call jazz that sound more like Penderecki, and there are other things in rock music that don't sound like blues at all, but still are merchandised in the rock packaging.
Mm-hmm. I think rock will be viable as long
as
rock it does
is,
this, as
yeah.
long as
so
it continues
it's
to amalgamate.
It's absorbing so much from every, it started with the Indian craze, then they went back to the African, there's a lot of South American coming into it again, now there's American hillbilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've had little tastes of electronic music here and there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that come from the producers of the records that feed in electronic sounds after the record has been made?
No, because a lot of those electronic effects are actually playable on stage. The Mothers of Invention carried around some very minimal equipment, you know, like tape delays and things like that.
I see, yeah.
And we could reproduce...
The echo effects, etc., yeah.
But we were using white noise and other forms of harmonic distortion.
In performance itself?
Sure.
This has been, it is a problem with many groups that they are only able to create much of their music in a studio, whereas others, and I think those are the ones that probably have much more to offer. It's all intrinsic to whatever they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the thing is that the way we used to work, when the Mothers of Invention were together, I don't know that...
Were you part of that? I'm terribly ignorant about
I have a group called the Mothers of Invention, which no longer exists.
Aren't you going to revive them, I hear, for something in London?
No, the thing in London will be the world premiere of some of my orchestra music. That's in April.
For symphony orchestra?
Yeah.
Now, does that have rock element? Or is
the only rock element that you might consider is the inclusion of an electric ensemble, which will improvise on the material. And also play as an extra ensemble of the orchestra. You know.
When is that?
That's in April.
I see.
25th.
And that's the world premiere of it.
Albert Hall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Recording plans?
Well, we've been discussing it, but we have a little problem right now because we're trying to find an orchestra there that isn't booked for that day to play it.
Do you have to do it in London on April 25th? Wouldn't you like to do it in Los Angeles early in May?
Well, it could be negotiated.
because there might well be an orchestra.
Well, you can do it in London in April and still do it.
Here's the situation. I found out, I think it was in November, that there was a date available at the Albert Hall in April. And a booking agency bought the date and planned on putting in this event. And so without any worry about whether or not there was going to be an orchestra to play it or a conductor to conduct it or anything like that, they said, we'll sell some tickets to that sucker. You know?
Yeah.
So,
even name the agency.
What is this that you have done with the Sacher of Stravinsky?
I haven't done anything with it. What I wanted to do during the summer last year was, there was a club here in Los Angeles called... what was that? The Cheetah, and it was down by the beach. And before it shut down, I wanted to have a performance of The Rite of Spring in a dance environment where you could actually get kids to dance to it. I wanted to get the LA Philharmonic down there and have them taking up the whole back of this place and amplify it so it could really ride across your chest, play The Rite of Spring, put on a light show and let everybody dance to it.
Oh, just dance to the original...
And not then get a group or various groups to take off from where we
No, I want you guys to play it. I want you to, you know,
give a Philharmonic Born, play The Rite of Spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, Frank, you have one problem there. You have to find a virgin for the second part.
Well, that's hard in L.A. But
it's harder than finding an orchestra in London.
We can institute a nationwide search for such an honor, maybe.
Sure, you can enlist the aid of doctors across America. Contact
American
church
Medical
groups.
Association. We'll support you there.
Well, there might be more and more now the pill scare has been introduced.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's not going to bring back virgins. It might create some other weird fantasies.
The pill won't really amount to anything until they can make it retroactive anyhow.
The point is, do you think that this kind of event, once the orchestra is finished playing Stravinsky, Rite of Spring, some groups would be excited enough to carry on from there and create from there? Don't you think that might be
terribly exciting? Well, I would be more than happy to, if I had a group, to carry on from The Rite of Spring and keep on thumping after the tune was over, because I never did like the ending of The Rite of Spring anyway. I always thought that was the worst part of the piece.
You mean the last dance?
The very end. You know, just poops out, and you just want it to keep on going until something really happens there. You know, because you never really get off behind it. You know, so I was thinking, well, as soon as the orchestra quits, that's like a tape edit downbeat, and then the other band starts up with a fuzz tone.
Well, we should try it sometime.
Well, there was a problem because it cost too much. I couldn't get any real, nobody believed that it would be a successful enough event to figure out how to afford to do it. You know, like a lot of rock bands get large sums of money to play a one-night stand, but very few of them get as much as an orchestra.
Would you, in essence,
You'd
do the same things?
Really?
Oh my God! What? Lots of rock groups get a hell of a lot more money for a one-night stand than an orchestra does.
Not lots. Well, I know there are some. You know, the ones that have achieved recording. You know, and they sell a lot of records. They get paid.
And those are the only ones, really, the big promoters will put on. And unfortunately, which.
Well, you know, a promoter is a guy who's doing a business like selling shoes. He's selling entertainment by the pound, by the hour, whatever, and he's got his problems, too. I feel sorry for those guys just to be in that end of the business, because a lot of them really eat it, especially the ones that have tried a few of these pop festivals that took a dive at the last minute. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's their business. You know? We got our problems in the other end of the business.
But wouldn't the combination of a marvelous orchestra with a wonderful conductor and a rock band be so inviting on its own that the audience would respond? I can imagine that.
Not necessarily.
I think it would knock them out.
Well, I wish that it would knock them out, but see, not everybody thought that it would just do the trick right away. Well,
have you ever played with the Mothers of Invention with an orchestra?
The only time we got close to it was we did a show at Festival Hall in London in October of last year. And we had 15 members of the BBC Symphony, and they played they were playing accompaniment to a play.
Written out.
Yeah. I wrote this thing while I was on the road, so it was like a little show, which was performed twice that night. We filmed it, and we taped it, and you know, it was never done again. But that's the only experience.
But I mean, what do you think how an orchestra would play rock?
Well, I'm not asking the orchestra to play rock.
But then what does the orchestra play then? I mean,
surely we play our music as well as we're...
No, I'm talking about a new piece like David was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a new piece, we tried an experiment which was very successful when we performed it with Don Ellis. That was not rock.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote, you know, you know about his band.
Yeah,
it exists, that huge big band. And he's a very talented musician, I think. And he wrote this piece, which his band played admirably. You know, we were improvising in 11 quarters to a bar and 6 and 7 vamping all the time. It was great fun. For me, it was marvelous. Mm. And he wrote as well as he could for the orchestra, although you couldn't compare his writing for the jazz group. As for us, first of all, he didn't write anything for them. They knew exactly what to do. You know, I have never had score, pages and pages of my score with empty bars. You remember that piece?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I had great fun. But at least the orchestra, whatever it played, was in the same idiom as his band was playing, even though he wrote ours out.
Yeah.
But in the rock, where it's so instinctive, everything, and it's played at the spur of the moment, too.
Well, you want to know one reason why a lot of people aren't coming to concerts and symphony orchestras are eating it? Because an orchestra should sound instinctive, you know, it should really sound
that way. Well, but that's a different problem. That's a different problem, dear.
Excuse me, in Los Angeles, a lot of people are still coming to symphony orchestras. This is
you have an attractive little pavilion down there, you know, and at least if you're still bringing in the audiences, that's good. But
in fact, they're growing all the time.
We are turning them away, you must know.
Yeah. I'm happy about that. Maybe Los Angeles will be the last place in the world with a symphony orchestra.
I somehow
no.
Don't
are
think
you
so.
Are you one of those people who believe that it will all die out?
Well, you know, there's so many horrible signs.
I don't.
I hope
think
it
so,
doesn't
though.
Die out because
no.
like orchestra.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think the horrible signs are rather more horrible symptoms of an unawareness in certain quarters of what's.
Why
Hang
should
on.
People stop appreciating beauty? There's no limit to that, or there's no...
Stop appreciating? I never saw him start.
Oh, no.
There's
Don't be negative
like
that.
That's really,
not true.
Which regards, which really yeah. has a very unfriendly attitude. Mm.
Besides, one thing that music is only played in America. It's not true. Even if it dies in America, it'll carry on other parts of the
it's
world.
It's not going to die in America. No.
It isn't. But I mean, the thing is, somebody's got to get to the young... because they have been put off music in school in the same way some of us were put off Shakespeare in the early grades by having it fed to us in an utterly repugnant way, repellent.
Irrelevant.
You're right,
Well, I think that there should be some way if there was just a like during the time when the Shrine, at the Shrine Exposition Hall, when they had the big rock dances there, if you could have taken the orchestra there and played for the audience there instead of waiting for them to come to the music center.
We're not waiting for anyone. The Music Center is our home, just like the rock groups have their home.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Music Center just happens to be a very good acoustical hall where we are extremely happy. Mm-hmm. We have no grudge in playing at the Music Center at all. In fact, I would never move out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't care how pretty it looks. Mm-hmm. It could look like a barn, I wouldn't move out of it. It just happens to be, once after our Philharmonic played at the Baptist Church for over 40 years and we were uncomfortable and we had to, you know, every time I took two steps in my dressing room to meet people after the concert, I was in the toilet there. After that, I'm very happy at the Philharmonic Hall. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think we've
from the balcony.
there are people who think it's a sort of stuffy, exclusive kind of thing. Until they get there and get that reaction, which is getting more and more exciting, you have here...
I've been there a couple of times, and I did a little psychological research on the audience and their motivations for going down there, and I was a little bit disappointed.
You know. Well, just a moment, do you know any time in history that that motivation did not exist?
No.
Mozart didn't write for people who came off the streets and play. He wrote also for the people who wanted to use the music as a place, as a meeting place also. It has, great music has always been a meeting place for people of the society. You cannot stop that.
Well, I'm not talking about a meeting place for people of the society. I'm saying that the same attitude when people go to see a rock concert doesn't exist. You know, it's not... I think they derive more from the performance of that music than the audience that comes to the Music Center derives from the performance of orchestra music. You know, they really feel it and they get more out of it. And I think it's necessary that if the... You know, you want people to appreciate beauty, get it to them, you know.
I think it's probably a mistake to measure it in quantity and so on. I think rock concerts have a lot to give to people, but I think what we do has a lot to give to people too. There's a very funny thing. You have it in Israel, just where you play each concert in the same place 9 times and have 9 different audiences. It starts on the first night with all the old people and, you know, who've been coming there for the last 30 years and so on and so forth. And they have that sort of attitude, entertain me, and they hardly ever react. And, you know, and progressively you get to the student audience, the workers' audience, the army audience, and so on and so forth. And progressively the audience reaction changes.
But besides...
With us, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. Thursday night is our social subscription audience, is our strongest financial supporters without whom we couldn't exist. Friday night, it already loosens up a bit. And on Sunday afternoon, prices are lower and so on and so forth. We get something approaching, I mean, we haven't quite got it yet, the sort of audience you get in London, where 60 to 70% of the audience are 25
and
under.
Yeah, but still, in London, he will also find the same kind of people who come with a motivation,
sure,
etc.
With all kinds.
You know, besides, the audience reaction to serious music is not the same as a reaction to a rock concert. You know, a rock concert, a public is physically motivated, is physically taking part in the music. In our music, you cannot do that. That's not even a place for it.
Well, you're talking about physically taking part if they dance?
Well, I'm saying a rock public participates in their music differently than a public of classical music. That's all.
But it shouldn't be that.
I mean, that's
a problem. I'll tell you why.
Do you mean our people, when they hear a Brahms symphony, should dance?
No, they shouldn't dance now. But if they don't get the same physical bang out of it, the actual... I really believe it. You know, the rock thing, of course, is enormously loud. Mm-hmm. But there is something, you know.
It's also new and it's living just now.
No, but do you remember how it was when you first heard Le Sacre and it really mashed you up inside? This is what happens to the kids with rock, and I'm convinced it can happen today with the kind of music.
It mashes people who hear the Sacre for the first time today.
What about a Mahler symphony or even a Beethoven symphony on the right? Or we were talking earlier on at the end of the Brahms Second, where people just can't contain themselves.
Only the show of enthusiasm is different. It's measured differently. Mm-hmm. But then it's measured differently between America and Europe, too. Mm-hmm. You know, in Spain now, after a very lousy performance of the Egmont Overture, they are screaming at the beginning of the concert. And here, they treat the overture only as a curtain raiser, as we say, only to let the latecomers in. Nobody even... Well, he played an overture, you know. nobody considers now we played a great overture by Beethoven. Mm-hmm. It's different, you know. In Europe, people know that the music is theirs, it belongs to them, they love it wholeheartedly. You go to Budapest and you play a Haydn symphony and they react like we have played a Tchaikovsky in America. So I don't think one can only look at an American audience and just love and judge the impact of serious music, really. Because an American audience does not participate in the fact that they own this music, that it is their music. It is still a borrowed culture, whereas the rock is not borrowed, the rock is their own.
Then why don't you play the work of more American composers?
What has it got to do with rock?
No, I'm talking about, you know, you want the people to feel like it's not a borrowed culture? Then, you know.
Well, the American composers that we play is also a borrowed technique. It's not their own in any case.
That's too bad for them.
Yeah, I know. Well.
Frank, well, there are some who mix, who are able to integrate elements, but that's the hardest thing.
Oh, but that's what we are looking for.
Yeah, that's right.
This is what we are looking for. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to say about rock and symphonic music, too.
Exactly.
The integration of all the elements that are current in society and that move people, excite young people.
That was the only reason why I went to Don Ellis, because I got to know him. I said, well, maybe we can do something mm-hmm. together. This is the only reason why I want to do something with Ravi Shankar too, you know, not to help an American, basically, mm-hmm. but to get something going between two different cultures. Mm-hmm. But American composers who have studied with Nadia Boulanger and composed in a neo-Stravinsky or neo-Hindemith or neo, this is the same borrowed culture. Mm-hmm.
And
you know.
Find those composers in Belgium?
We are playing a Korean piece tomorrow night that could be written by Schoenberg, you know. Now, mm-hmm. this is not Korean. There is not one iota of anything Oriental in that piece. He studied in Germany. He grew up in a different culture, and mm-hmm. you know, we all embrace it. There's nothing Indian when I do a Brahms symphony.
You see, when Frank was on to something before, unless I misread him or misheard him, you see, there is a young generation growing up on whom we will have to depend, not so much for the survival of music, but they're going to be in the driver's seat. If they grow up as Philistines, I don't mean to put them down or to say they're in a state of poor grace because they don't dig classical music. That's not the word, but that's the word we use, I guess. Then it will have a hard time surviving. It has to be kept alive. And also, they are losing something. I think that without condescending, without demeaning ourselves, there are ways of bringing the music to them. There is something there enormous and marvelous to love from those in whom that culture is genuine. Kids today ask, what the hell are you trying to tell me about Mozart's G minor? And then after they listen to Mozart's G minor, they realize that there is something there which invades an area that is so close to the, you know, the marrow of life that they'll never find it anyplace else. Now,
but they don't know until they experience.
But this is the point.
The idea is to bring them here.
Our job is really to get across to them, and we're fumbling along in all sorts of ways, but we're beginning.
I did something in Israel a couple of months ago. I brought in a rock group, and I trained them together with an Israeli movie composer who knew a little bit of rock, for them to play a little bit on the first movement of the Bach Concerto for two violins. Mm-hmm. And I made the two boys of the orchestra play the first movement, and then they played their version, you know, all they did was... And then they played their version, you know, all they did was... And then they went off somewhere. I don't think they were very good, but in any case, it was a light music concert, and I did this. And I played together with that the 1812 of Tchaikovsky, and I played Spanish music, etc. Well, all these young people in Israel came, but they liked the Tchaikovsky more than the rock.
Wait, the Tchaikovsky?
They were
screaming. At least you got them there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I bribed them.
That's it.
So I bribed
the American
them
way.
Because this...
Give them a flag.
We did a similar thing at the Bowl, as you know, last season.
Ah. That was a great concert.
With music from 2001 and
American. Yeah, sure.
When Vivaldi
and the Mozart Concerto, which was played, it's been played in Los Angeles before. Nobody ever cried during the second movement. Now they suddenly see this half-naked girl with the long brown hair in the fields. And the second movement is transformed.
But any other Mozart concerto really would work just about as well.
There's something classic about half-naked girls with long brown hair. Now, this is KPFK in Los Angeles. Our guests are David Raxson, Zubin Mehta, Ernest Fleischman, and Frank Zappa.
the classic How's station.
We're crossing cultural boundaries tonight.
We're pretending there are none. And maybe there are none.
If we pretend
now
hard
we have
enough,
to end the program.
We have
very
25
soon.
Minutes to go.
Very soon, I must go.
Ah.
Come on, I haven't eaten all day.
I would say there were no cultural barriers last summer at the Tchaikovsky concert that ended with the 1812 overture and the fireworks, yeah. And there was quite a young attendance
different,
there.
Different idiom. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with having fun during serious music.
No, not at
all. That's part of the problem.
At the
bowl this
year, at the bowl this coming season, I really do want to try and integrate rock and folk in symphony programs without making a big thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked one or two rock groups so far to come in instead of a piano concerto and do a set in an ordinary concert. Do you think that this is a bribe? I don't. I think
you get letters asking you if they are smoking pot.
Well, I consider that what they have to do is as valid as a piano concerto or a fiddle concerto or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. It is part of the music experience. Mm-hmm. And looking at it from the other side, I think what we have to do is as valid as the rock mm-hmm. groups will have to do. I don't think that's being condescending.
I think better than that sort of a bribe, it would be to take the orchestra into the kind of a place where kids normally go.
Well, we have explored that.
If we take the orchestra to their
locale, give them a taste of it, you know.
In fact, we started working on this. You know, the Palladium, they had this magic circus last year, and we started talking to them about instead of.
Yeah, but that's
or
not
in
the
addition
same,
to the groups, the orchestra coming and doing a couple of nights of magic circus, but the damn thing collapsed.
But I think Mrs. Zappa has a point.
There.
We should actually go to them. That's what actually I'm doing in Israel too.
I'm talking about going to places where they not a special event like the magic circus, but like if the shrine was still operating with rock dances, to go to a place where they're already accustomed to going, established place.
But where are these? I've been looking for
You'd
them.
You'd find them. If you could solve the acoustic problem of the shrine, and it can be solved, I bet you could go in there.
I don't think it's so much the acoustic problem
has,
of the shrine. It's just the general appearance problem of the place. There are no rock shows at the shrine anymore.
Well,
they were shut down by the police, I believe. Yeah.
What kind of music that we play do you think, Mr. Zappa, that the young people would like, that rock audience would like?
Okay.
Kind of repertoire?
You should play Amarix by Varese. You should play Arcana by Varese. You should play The Rite of Spring. They'd probably dig Petrushka. They would like the Threnody for the Victims from Hiroshima by Penderecki. And
baroque music.
And symphonia.
They would like mm-hmm. the antiphonal brass things, you know?
Like tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing that tomorrow night?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gabrielli.
Well, we might mention the program tomorrow night.
Whip it on them.
It's not
Why
a bad
Why do you think
idea.
They like baroque so much?
Well,
Only
know,
because
that,
of the Beatles?
No, probably because that would match everybody's idea of what classical music is supposed to be.
Really?
And then they could say, classical music the other.
Is
could
it
be
the
regular 16.
And is it the perfect... They don't realize it, but they are listening to absolutely perfect mathematical harmonic functions,
There's a
romantic
clarity.
Music, of course, we know they don't like it.
Well, what about things like
full
Tristan?
They don't like counterpoint. They cannot hear two voices and without
Zarathustra.
A rhythm.
That's not
That's what I find.
Well,
Zarathustra, what they like is...
They have counterpoint in rock and roll now.
I know, but that's different. They still have the beat going. They hear counterpoint without a rhythm, and Wagner has no basic rhythm in that sense, and they're completely... Brahms is the last thing they like in the end.
I think they like Mahler.
Yeah. So, different kind of young people like Mahler.
But you know what they love? They love Sinfonia. Are you going to play that? Luciano's piece, Sinfonia.
Yeah.
I bet they'd love that in a concert.
Because
it's got a lot of very brave, large sounds.
Mm-hmm. It's great fun.
You know what you ought to do? Try some of that Baroque music and just add a good drummer to it. Somebody who plays 16th note oriented boogaloo backbeat. Get him to lay down straight time behind it. I bet you'd really...
Well, that's what the Swingles did.
Yeah, but they were singing it. I'm talking about get the orchestra to do it. That would be the easiest compromise, I think.
It would work with a lot of Vivaldi pieces.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and it would certainly work. Well, of course, these are piano pieces, but the Scarlatti sonatas, they really are.
You're talking
jazz.
To a musical purist.
Yeah. Shame on you. What are you, a purist?
Yeah. You're a purist too.
No,
you don't want to mix in your rock all kind of.
I think we should all do our own thing as well as we're able to do. Do a, you know, there's a, I mean,
do it and if
yeah,
it's good,
I say,
spread it around.
Why should
yeah,
I touch
exactly.
one of my
that's
pieces?
The
they don't
thing.
Like it, they can go to hell, you know. I can have that attitude too. But I would love to do something of mine that they were that they like.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
That I'm ready to.
And
I think
also
find much
to find
more
that
yeah,
bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, to really get that synthesis between. I hate calling it theirs and our music.
Them and us.
It isn't like that. I mean, we're doing a television
seats,
show.
We'll just have them sitting on
the is, they are not talking about us. We are talking about them. This is what's bothering me.
Lou Merkelson said something before. He said, there's nothing wrong with enjoying music. The converse is equally true, and more so, there is something wrong with not enjoying music.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And
of all kinds, however.
Right.
Well, you know, some mm-hmm. people like cowboy music, some people it makes them gag. Some people like Brahms, other people it puts them to sleep and they really get repelled by it.
Like a Beethoven piano sonata, they would hate it. I promise you, they would absolutely
how about
hate
the,
it.
How about the second and third Bartok piano concertos?
Yeah, that they would like. They would no, first and second. Third,
oh,
not so much.
Oh, they love too. The third.
Yeah. Oh, because of the second movement.
And they'd like
the birds they like.
Third,
no,
too.
No, that
mm-hmm.
tune in the front is very easy to
uh-huh.
remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about the Prokofiev third? I'm sure they'd love that.
Or the Prokofiev first, for that matter.
Yeah.
I think in the end, they really all love Tchaikovsky.
Mm.
Oh, yes. Well, they absolutely adore it. They fall for it. They get mousetrapped
well, 18,
into it like
came.
Everybody else.
18,000 like, came to the bowl.
Yeah. They hear the piano concerto and they are out.
Yeah. Well, you're pandering to the lowest taste of the audience then.
There's nothing
no,
wrong with Tchaikovsky.
It's a low, excuse me, Tchaikovsky is a very great composer, first of all. But the people who don't know it, and they come probably, say, well, we're going to hear that long-haired stuff, you know,
yeah.
romantic, soupy stuff, and they fall for it completely. Like they fall for a piano concerto of Chopin any time. Anytime.
Well, give them the modal stuff, though, because I
yeah,
think that's,
but that's,
more,
it, yeah.
that's a good accessible.
I mean,
maybe.
Vaughan Williams is.
Soupy stuff, and they fall for it completely. Like, they fall for a piano concerto of Chopin anytime. Anytime.
Well, give them the modal stuff, though, because I
yeah,
think
but
that's,
it,
more,
yeah.
that's a good accessible.
I mean,
maybe.
Vaughan Williams is.
Music from the story of old.
Yeah.
With light show.
Yeah, I know. Then right. People love titles.
Yeah.
Friedrich Guldalf, Viennese pianist.
Well, nobody likes to walk into something
strange.
Once
went to one who couldn't play all Beethoven sonata recital, and he telegraphed his little American towns, what sonatas would you like, since he plays all 32, he said, you play whatever they want. They said, pick your choice, only everyone should have a title. So he played Moonlight and Appassionata, as long as it didn't say Opus 57, number 3.
Mm. Okay, well,
as long as it says Les Adieux, none of the. Have you ever heard Les Adieux being announced on the Los Angeles radio stations? It's a catastrophe what they say. That word.
Safest thing
not
is
only
to
that.
Just give the Opus number.
Mm. Well, but people identify verbally, and that's something that you can't really avoid. People, we're verbal. You know, we don't think in terms of numbers. We
also,
fight digit dialing.
Yes, it indicates really, instead of, it's not only the repulsion against the digits, it's also a kind of latent romanticism.
Mm-hmm.
It says a passionata. You know, everybody
sure.
knows what passion is, and they figure that's it.
That music will give you a hard-on in the middle of the concert. That's it.
That's right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with live music like that.
Well, sometimes some people play it like it will.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to bridge that generation.
That's kind of being kind of involved in. That's kind of being involved in the music, isn't it?
What about the perm of ecstasy of Scriabin?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Nobody gets ecstasized by that, I promise you.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
get the clatter
it's a quarter of 10. Can I? I've never given the time on the radio. In 25 seconds, it's going to be quarter of 10, and I'm starving.